There's a nice song in Tamil. I don't know whether you heard it. Alayamani osai kekudamma kekudamma aandavan kural nammai alikudamma alikudamma. Have you heard it? That's all about Murugan. Ira orar mugamum irar karamum. Gone somewhere. I heard this, heard about this.
Oh,
and they have heard about this song.
Huh?
No, this particular. Alayamani osai kekudamma kekudamma aandavan kural nammai alaikudamma alaikudamma. Kettadilla? I heard that somebody some it was very very well known family some story about this. They were Om Hari Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Bhadram Karne Bhishranu Yama Deva Bhadram Pashye Mavshabharya Jatra Stirairangai Stushvabhagam Sastanubhi Vyashema Devahitayadayuhu Swasti na Indro Riddhashravaha Swasti na Pusha Vishravedaha Swasti na Staksho Arishtanemihi Swasti no Brihaspatir Dadhatu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. People who says, I feel so tired, I'm feeling so tired physically. People that come and, no, whoever says that, you have to say that sentence. Now, Swasti na Indro Vriddhashravaha. Swasti na Indro Vriddhashravaha. Swasti na Indro Vriddhashravaha. Swasti na Indro Vriddhashravaha. All physical tiredness, no? The physical stamina, the physical prowess, Devata is what? Indra. Indra is a Devata. Who is this Devata? The one who stands for physical prowess, physical stamina. Because the tiredness, no? Many people told me yesterday they were tired and all that. Not here, okay? Some of the people. So, and you had, that's why I wanted to say, see, when you chant this Shanti mantra, really we mean it. Be focused in chanting. You know the meaning and see the meaning, chant it. So it is effective. Om Bhadram Kanne Bhishrunu Yama Deva. Very important. O Lord, may we listen to all the right teaching through our ears. May we not be exposed to wrong teaching. Okay, because everybody means well. Every teacher means well. That is the problem. There's nobody really, you know. If we expose the right teaching and even it has the right understanding of what is taught and whatever comes and falls into our ears must be something which will be uplifting and elevating. No, and which will be contribute for our emotional maturity and which will contribute for our jnanam and clarity of vision, no, and moksha. Anything which comes and falls into my ears must be contributive, no? For my emotional maturity, for my commitment to live a life of dharma, and for my jnanam, and for my moksha. Anything which takes my mind away from my pursuit of jnanam and moksha, my commitment to live a life of dharma, then let me not hear. That is why very important. Bhadram karne, bhadram is auspicious, no? Bhadram karne bhishnu nuyama deva, bhadram pasye maksha bharya jatra. Anything I see also not be distracting, okay? Whatever I see also should be, it should be helpful in, you know, in keeping me remain focused on the pursuit. Bhadram pasye maksha bharya jatra sthirai rangai. We had to ask for this. We want strong limbs, healthy limbs, strong healthy limbs. Sthirai rangai istushtu vagam sastanu bhihi vyashema devahi tayyada yuhu. The lifespan ordained by Bhagavan, may we spend this span of life enjoying robust, okay, health, good health, healthy limbs and strong limbs, and no, singing the glories of, appreciating the glories of Bhagavan. Singing of glories means is possible only if you appreciate the glories. Appreciating the glories means what? There's no jealousy at all in my mind. Anything praiseworthy I see, I look at just Bhagavan's vibhuti. Somebody can sing so beautifully, Bhagavan's vibhuti. Somebody can dance well, Bhagavan's vibhuti. Somebody is very special, unique, not, somebody is blessed with some special skill in given discipline, that is Bhagavan's vibhuti. I see anything I see praiseworthy, whoever it is, irrespective of whoever the person is, known or unknown, and just I admire it, I look at it as, without longing, I admire it as Bhagavan's vibhuti. Always, whenever anything you see praiseworthy, laudable and appreciable, and a great talent and all that, there'll be a small, your smallness will be, you know, triggered. Your being small. I am small in terms of, you know, something. Your smallness is a fundamental problem which is already there, which will be triggered. When that is triggered, the pain comes. But that pain results in always what? I know somebody else who can sing well also. That sort of, no, always the jealousy, I tell you, jealousy or envy is nothing but expression of, you know, helpless, inevitable, or you can say caused by one's own pain, okay, caused by the triggering of one's smallness. Understand? That is why, if we have this attitude of looking at everything as Bhagavan's vibhuti, because anybody, you know, all Bhagavan's vibhuti, when you are able to look at it, it's all, you know, vibhuti, greatness of reality, glory of reality, glory of Lord, if you look at it, then, you know, that is what is, that keeps you healthy, that also, it keeps atmosphere is also so healthy. That is why we say, this is may we spend this lifespan ordained by the law, the universal natural law and order, enjoying good health and strong limbs, appreciating and singing the glories of Bhagavan. That is why, swasti na vyashema deva hitayada yuhu, swasti na indro vriddhashravaha, swasti na indro vriddhashravaha. Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha, Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha, Swastina Starkshyo Arishtanemihi, Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Namaste Ganapataye, Tvameva pratyaksham tattvamasi, Tvameva kevalam kartasi, Tvameva kevalam dattasi, Tvameva kevalam hartasi, Tvameva sarvam kalvidam brahmasi, Tvam sakshadatmasi nityam, Ritam vachmi, satyam vachmi, avatvammam, avavaktaram, avashrotaram, avadataram, avadataram, avanuchanam avasishyam, avapaschatat, avapurastat, avottaratat, avadakshinatat, avachordvatat, avadharatat, sarvato mam pahi pahi samantat, tvam vangmayastvam chinmayah, tvam anandamayastvam brahmamayah, tvam sachidanandadvitiyosi, tvam pratyaksham brahmasi, tvam jnanamayo vijnanamayosi, sarvam jagadidam tvatto jayate, sarvam jagadidam tvattastishtati, sarvam jagadidam tvailayameshati, sarvam jagadidam tvai pratyeti, tvam bhumirapo nalo nilo nabhah, tvam chattvari vakpadani, tvam gunatrayatitah, tvam avastatrayatitah, tvam dehatrayatitah, tvam kalatrayatitah, tvam mooladharasthitosi nityam, tvam shaktitrayatmakah, tvam yogino dhyayanti nityam, tvam brahma, tvam vishnustvam, rudrastvam, indrastvam, agnistvam, vayustvam, suryastvam, chandramastvam, brahma bhurbhuvasvarom, ganadim purvamucharya vannadim stadanantaram, anusvara parataraha, ardhendulasitam, tarena ruddham, yedattavamanusvarupam, prakarapurvarupam, akaro madhyamarupam, anusvarascantyarupam, binduruttararupam, nadasandhanam, sagumhita sandhihi, Saisha Ganesha Vidya Ganaka Rishihi Nichrut Gayatri Chandaha Ganapatir Devata Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha Om Ekadantaya Vidmahe Vakratundaya Dhimahi Tanno Dantih Prachodayat Ekadantam Chaturhastam Pashamankushadharinam Radancha Varadam Hastair Vibhranam Moshakadvajam Raktam lambodaram shurpakarnakam raktavasasam Raktagandhanuliptangam raktapushpai subhujitam Bhaktanukampinam devam jagatkaranamachyutam Avirbhutancha srishtyadu prakrute purushatparam Evam dhyayati yo nityam sayogi yoginam varah Om namo vratapataye namo ganapataye namo pramathapataye Namaste stulambodaraya ekadantaya vignavinashine Shivasutaya varadamurtaye namo namah Om Sriman Mahaganadhipataye Namaha Om Yaschandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha Chandobhyodhyamrutat Sambhabhuva Samendro Medhaya Sprunoto Amrutasya Devadharano Bhuyasam శరీరం మే విచర్షణం జిహ్వా మే మధుమత్తమా కర్ణాభ్యాం భూరి విశ్రువం బ్రహ్మణ కోశోసి మేధయా పిహితః శ్రుతం మే గోపాయ ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః ఓం మేధా దేవీ జుషమాణాన ఆగాత్ విశ్వాచి భద్రా సుమనస్యమానా త్వయా జుష్టానుదమానా దురుక్తాన్ బృహద్వదేమ విదథే సుమేరాః త్వయా జుష్ట ఋషిర్భవతి దేవే త్వయా బ్రహ్మాగత శ్రీరుత త్వయా త్వయా జుష్టశ్చిత్రం విందతే వసుసానో జుషస్వ ద్రవిణో న మేధే మేధాం ఇంద్రో దదాతు మేధాంతే మే సరస్వతీ మేధాం మే అశ్వినా బుభావాదత్తాం పుష్కరస్రజాం అప్సరాసు జయా మేధా గంధర్వేషు జయన్మనా దైవీ మేధా సరస్వతి సామా మేధా సురభిర్జుషతాం ఆమా మేధా సురభిర్విశ్వరూపా హిరణ్యవర్ణ జగతీ జగమ్యా ఊర్జస్వతీ పయసా పిన్వమానా సామా మేధా సుప్రతీకా జుషంతాం మయి మేధాం మయి ప్రజాం మయి అగ్నిస్తేజో దదాతు మయి మేధాం మయి ప్రజాం మయి ఇంద్రయింద్రియం దదాతు మయి మేధాం మయి ప్రజాం మయి సూర్యో భ్రాజో దదాతు ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః
ప్రమాణం ఈస్ అ వ్యాలిడ్ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ వన్ హూ ఎంప్లాయ్స్ వన్ హూ యూజెస్ దిస్ ప్రమాణం ఈస్ అ ప్రమాత ది నోవర్ సో వీ హ్యావ్ అనదర్ వర్డ్ ప్రమాత ప్రమాత means knower. Pramanam is a means of knowledge. So pramata is the subject of knowledge. Pramanam is a means of knowledge. And what should be the object of knowledge? Prameyam. Prameyam is object of knowledge. Why I want you to know this? This word prameya is used later on, when you read Bhagavad Gita, other words, other texts, you can see the one of the words revealing the nature of the Atma is aprameya. That is why I want you to understand in this context. Literally, we say prameyam means prameyam is an object of knowledge. So pramata, the knower, pramati, knows. Pramati means what? Pramati knows. One who knows. Just the act verb that is. Knows. Pramati like gachati, patati. So pramati knows. Pramanam means of knowledge. Or you can say knowing also in fact. That through which knowing takes place. That's why it's also pramanam. And prameyam. So pramata the knower, pramanam the valid means of knowledge, prameyam is an object of knowledge. When you say, as they explain the word pramanam means that through which an accurately measuring something is knowing. That is what is knowing. There is a prameyam. Prameyam, when you say that which can be known, knowable. So that is which is to be known. The object of knowledge we say prameyam. And here we say anything which is an object of knowledge is also what? If you remove the pra, if you just take the maya, now mata means the measure. Mata is mother, that's a different thing. Literally we are saying. Mata is called mother. Okay? Literally, mata means a measurer, one who measures. So she who knows, she who measures the thick and thin, the child's needs, now she knows thoroughly the child is mata. Should be, okay, supposed to know. Anyway, so the mata, the measurer, and manam, measurement, measuring, you remove the pra. And maya means that that which can be measured. Maya means that which can be measured. If you remove the pra comes, it becomes knowledge, okay? Pramanam, valid means of knowledge. Pramata, the knower. Prameyam, that which can be known, that which is object of knowledge. But if you remove the pra, mata, manam, maya. Maya means measurable, that which can be measured. That's why Devi is called Ameya. Ameya means what? That which cannot be measured. Immeasurable. Aprameya also, what does it mean? Immeasurable. Okay? And that which cannot be objectified, that which cannot be known as an object of knowledge. That's why Aprameya. Anyway. And if you say, what is this Pramanam? We say, Phalavat Anadhigata Artha Bodhakam. This is the definition. Phalavat Anadhigata Artha Bodhakam. If you ask what is Pramanam, it says, okay, Pramakaranam Pramanam. Look at this. Pramakaranam Pramanam. Let me come back to you. I told something which is not needed for you. Yes, I told you. So, Pramanam Pramata, remember this, Pramata, the knower, Pramanam, the means of knowledge, Prameyam, the object of knowledge. I care to tell you one thing, Prama, just to say Prama. Prama means knowledge. Prama, knowledge. So, Prama, Janakam, Pramanam. Or, okay, Prama, Janakam, Pramanam, that which results in knowledge, that through which knowledge takes place. Anena, Prama, Janyate, ke jayate iti pramanam. So that through which knowledge takes place is pramanam. So his phalavat artha bodhakam pramanam. Anadhigata artha bodhakam. See what you. Artha bodhakam means what? That which reveals something. Bodhakam, bodhayati. That which reveals. That which brings to light. Bodhakam means what? That which brings to light. What is that which brings to light? Okay? Artha bodhakam. That which brings to light a given thing, given object, given vastu. That which brings to light is artha bodhakam. But what is that which brings to light? Which is already known to you or unknown to you? Unknown to you. Okay? Anadhigata. Adhigata means what has been understood earlier. So what has not been understood earlier. So that which brings to light, okay, something which has not been understood. That which reveals or brings to light, okay, something which has not been understood earlier. Okay. That which brings to light something which has not been understood earlier, is it useful or not? It must be useful also. Phalavat. It must be, phalavat means what? Useful. So, pramanam is that, pramajanakam pramanam. So, that through which knowledge takes place, that by which knowledge takes place, one more explanation you have to that, which brings to light something which has not been understood earlier, okay, and which is useful. It is what is pramanam. நாம் முன்னமேயே அறியாத ஒன்றை நமக்கு புரிய வைத்தல், புரிய வைப்பது எதுவோ அனதிகத அர்த்தபோதகம் பிரமாணம். போதயதி மீன் இட் பிரிங்ஸ் டு லைட். கிம் போதயதி, வாட் இஸ் இட் விச் இட் ரிவீல்ஸ் டு யூ? அர்த்தம், சம்திங் இட் ரிவீல்ஸ் டு யூ. வாட் அர்த்தம், வாட் இஸ் தட் விச் it reveals to you? Anadhigata. Adhigata means which is already known to you. Anadhigatam artham, okay, bodhayati. Iti anadhigata artha bodhakam. So that which brings to light something which has not been understood, which has not been known to you earlier, and which is also useful, palavat, is pramanam. Remember these words, okay? Anadhigata artha bodhakam. Say that. Anadhigata artha bodhakam pramanam. Okay, you got this definition. Anadhigata artha bodhakam pramanam. Suppose if it already, it is something, it shows something which is already known to you, then it is not a valid means of, already known to you. சம்மதர் பிரமாணம், இட் மஸ்ட் பி யூஸ்ஃபுல் ஆல்சோ, பலவத் ஆல்சோ இட் மஸ்ட் பி யூஸ்ஃபுல். அண்ட் ஹியர் வி சே வி ஹாவ் டு நோ, சப்போஸ் வாட் ஆர் ஆல் பாசிபிள் பிரமாணாஸ், வாட் ஆர் ஆல் தி பிரமாணாஸ் அவைலபிள் ஹியர், வி ஹாவ் டு சி, பிகாஸ் ஜஸ்ட் டு மேக் அஸ் திங்க். இட் இஸ் நாட் ஃபார் எனி பிக் கிளாரிட்டி, பட் திஸ் இஸ் ஃபார் மேக்கிங் தி மைண்ட் சட்டில். Just to understand, what are all the possible means of knowledge of objects available? And we say shat pramanani. Okay, we say there are six, okay, the fold, the means of knowledge. We talk about it always. And here, why we have to talk about all these things? Because just to say Atma is not available for, okay, recognition through any of these pramanas, except the last one. To know a given object, to know any object, you can use any of these means of knowledge. So pratyaksha pramanam, we talk about it, pratyaksha pramanam. Pratyaksham means direct. Pratyaksha pramana means what? No, you can say anything which you perceive directly. Now, pratyaksha pramana, suppose a means of knowledge which you use and know things directly, you have direct knowledge of given object through perception, using your sensor. So it's a sensory data you collect, okay? The senses. So knowledge of objects which takes place through perception, through the give all these means of knowledge, your senses, sense organs. You use your eyes, you use your ears, you use your nose. You all say here, smell here. There is a nice fragrance of a given flower, jasmine. You can say that. Now, what is the pramanam? Your nose. So who else, does anybody need to come and tell you? No, you know direct. It's a pratyaksha pramanam. You smell directly, it's a pratyaksha pramanam. And Swamini is talking, pratyaksha pramanam, not only are you seeing me talking, you also, you can't say Swamini is talking. Okay? Therefore, it's not only you're hearing through your ears directly my words. Therefore, pratyaksha pramanam. Even if you don't see me physically here, if my voice is recorded and recorded, you are hearing to my voice also, Swamini is talking, Pratyaksha Pramanam, direct perception, not through senses, using your senses. So you see something, oh, there is light, Pratyaksha Pramanam. Eyes are the means of Pratyaksha Pramanam. Pratyaksha, we say. Similarly, you taste and say, oh, it is very hot, it is very sweet. Now, immediately you say that, understand? What is the means of knowledge? How do you say it is hot? How do you say it is sweet? I tasted it. Okay? Pratyaksha Pramanam. It is warm inside, it is chill inside, cold inside. What is the Pramanam? Your own skin is the Pramanam. So again, Pratyaksha Pramanam. So, this Pratyaksha Pramanam means a means of knowledge. Okay? For which you use your own senses and you have direct knowledge of objects. So direct knowledge of objects you have through Pratyaksha Pramanam, for which you use your own senses. And we know very well Atma is not available for Pratyaksha Pramanam. Why? Because we've already understood Atma is not available for any of these pramanams. Except the last one. Why? Because Atma is not an object of knowledge. Understand? Pratyaksha Pramanam, the senses can be used as means of knowledge. Only what is to be known is an object of knowledge. So there's no Atma is not available for Pratyaksha Pramanam. And next we say Anumana Pramanam. We can say Anumanam. In Tamil also we have this word Anumanam. Anumanittal, we say that. Anuman, look at this. The manam again, Anu is a prefix added here. You measure, okay, that's what knowing. Anumana Pramanam, look at this. Anumanam is enough. Anumanam means inference. You infer. But based on some, but for which you need some perceptual knowledge. You must have perceived something and based on that you can infer something else. Okay, Shivadasanji has come to the class alone. That means Devi Amma has gone somewhere to Sri Lanka or to India. She is not in London. That is, no, she is not in England. Anumanam. Devi Amma is not in England, therefore he has come alone. What is in, he has come alone? That is what? By which you infer Devi Amma is not in England. It has gone somewhere. Understand? That is the inference, which is an anumanam. For which you need some perceptual data, okay? You must have seen him being here. Otherwise, there is no way of connecting something. So always anumanam, anumana pramanam, this inference, you know, the means of inference is always dependent on some other, you know, knowledge born of perception. Some, you need some knowledge which you have through the perception. This is anumana pramanam. Because this, we can say, it's going to rain this evening because it's very cloudy. It's very cloudy. Therefore, it's going to rain this evening. One becomes what? You perceive something directly. Clouds you perceive. Therefore, you infer it's going to rain this evening. So, inference of the rains which will be there this evening is based on your perception of clouds, present clouds. I'm just saying how anumana pramanam. And in traditional example we always give, whenever, you know, yatra yatra agnihi, yatra yatra dhumaha, tatra tatra agnihi. Wherever you see smoke, you only see the smoke, you don't see fire. In villages, in all places we see mountains far off places and we can see smoke. Okay, and then we say, wherever you see smoke, there must be fire. We don't see the fire, but you infer the fire being there, seeing the smoke. So perception of smoke helps you infer the fire being there. So here, that's why you say anumanam, anumana pramanam. So anumiti jnanam, when you say it is inferential knowledge, or you can say knowledge born through inference, born of inference, is so anumanam. And similarly, so atma is not something which is available for anumana pramanam also. You can't infer how atma will be, okay? Because I see this like this, so atma must be like this. Nothing, okay? Atma is not, nothing you can perceive, and based on anything which you have perceived, you cannot infer how atma will be also. That is why just ruled out. All these pramanas are ruled out. But still we are simply, just for the sake of understanding, I'm talking how people think. It's only, I'm only introducing pramanas. These pramanas, when I meet you next time, it's for you to know in detail and make your mind subtle. We'll see later on, but this is only introduction. This session is introduction. So here, anumana pramanam. And we also have, next now we have this, arthapattihi. No, arthapatti pramanam. Arthapattihi, really speaking, we do not have proper English word for arthapatti. Anumanam, inference. Pratyaksham, perception. Okay? Perception, inference. Anumanam, we use the word presumption. But arthapatti. Presumption is the word we are using. But still not that expressive. See, when there are few possible things and nothing is possible, and this must be the, this is how it must have happened, you presume, okay? I'll give you the example. So today, all of you, suppose, okay, some of you, today we think, suppose the Peter G did not come by coach. He did not come by coach, the bus. And there is today, the train, under tubes are cancelled, okay? All your underground trains are cancelled. If he says he did not come by bus, underground tubes are cancelled, I know. So he did not say he did not come by tube. He did not say that. But I know the trains have been cancelled today. So he did not come by coach. I presume he must have been dropped by somebody. Somebody must have dropped him here. He must have come by car. There are three possible, you know, conveyances, three possible ways of reaching here. So if there is no coach, he did not come by coach, trains are not available, presume, you know, he must have come by, definitely, by somebody must have dropped him here. Understand? It's arthapatti. Suppose a child comes, okay, a child, 5-year-old child comes and shows you an album of marriage pictures. And the child says, you know, I'm there, I was there on my father's wedding day. This is my picture, this is the photograph. And then, but my mother died 2 years ago. My mother died 2 years ago, and I was there on my father's wedding day. I'm also there on the picture here. The child says, how can a child be there on the day of the father's wedding? And the child is there on the picture, wedding, father's wedding. And the picture also, the child is there in the picture. And the child says, one more thing, we can make out what? The child's mother has died, the second marriage of the father, so the child is there. is only presume. You presume. It's called arthapati. Look at this. Arthapati tell us. You know? Arthapati pramanam. Presuming things. So arthapati also, this is just the pramanam is there available for us to use, to know a lot of things. How you infer, how you presume, and how you arrive at, you know, certain things. So it's also one of the means of knowledge. So we don't need to talk about arthapati being a means of knowledge of Atma. We don't need to worry about it. Just I want to know. And we have another pramanam called upamanam. Upamanam is comparison. Similarities you can compare and you can arrive at something else. Simple, it's upamanam, you know, very simple thing. Always we compare and arrive at. Just a comparison is upamanam. And our shastras talk about the Atma as secondless one. What can Atma be compared to? There's nothing which you can compare, you know, with Atma. So there are two things for one thing to be compared with the other thing, compared to another thing. Maybe similar also. Then comparison is possible. Therefore, gently, just we say comparison, upamanam is, though always comparison also serves as means of knowledge to understand certain things, certain objects. And we have another pramanam called anupalabdhihi. Anupalabdhihi. Upalabdhihi means availability. Labdhihi, as we were saying, upalabdhi swarupaha. Remember? Upalabdhihi means what? Labdhihi, it means gain. Upalabdhihi means availability. Anupalabdhihi means what? Non-availability. Understand? Or you can say simply absence. Anupalabdhihi. So you have the knowledge of an absence of something. Non-availability, you know, becomes a means of knowledge for knowing the absence of a given object. You thought you have taken your pen, you have come to the class, somebody suddenly you feel like you don't need, you thought you wouldn't be writing anything here, so you're not very conscious of bringing the pen, but you thought you brought the pen, and having come here, you hardly want, you feel like writing something, two sentences, and immediately look for the pen, and you thought you had a pen, but when you checked your pocket, there wasn't pen. Okay, pen is not there. It means what? You have the knowledge of pen being not there. So absence of, so knowledge of, an absence of something, for which also you need a means of knowledge of. Understand? So we say anupalabdhihi. It is not there. Oh, today Madhavi is not here. Okay, now I say. So her absence, this knowledge of, she's not available here. Therefore I can say she is not here. Okay. So that's why anupalabdhihi, non-availability of things become, serves as the means of knowledge of absence of a given thing. So anupalabdhihi also is one of the pramanas. Have you said, so pratyaksha pramanam is the first one, perception. Anumana pramanam, inference. Arthapattihi, presumption. And upamanam, comparison. Anupalabdhihi, absence. And we say, last is the shabdaha, shabda pramanam. Shabdaha means sound. We have two words again. Dhanihi Shabdaha. Shabdaha, noise. Now, because we want to close the because there's a dhani, okay? Noise also is what? Dhani means any sound is dhani. And shabdaha also means, in Tamil we say sattam. No, shabdaha means noise also. But in Sanskritam, shabdaha means a word, padam. Shabdaha means a word, meaningful sound. A meaningful sound is what? A word. Meaningless sound, not a meaningless sound. We say it's a meaningless sound. But any other sound, of a meaningful sound. Now, meaningful sound is what? Now, we say shabdaha means a meaningful sound. A meaningful sound is a padam. And yesterday also I started with that word actually, padam. Now, you have to remember the padaha and the padam. That through which you arrive at something is padam. Yesterday I told that, remember, padyate anena iti padam. Padyate anena iti padaha. Used for both words. Padaha is masculine gender noun. Padam is a neuter gender noun. And for both root is the pad. Now, that by which you arrive at something. You reach something. Now, buddhya reaching through buddhi is what? Knowledge, no? You arrive at it. When I immediately say, oh, fruit, immediately you get the word. The word takes you to a given object. I don't mention particularly it's an apple or orange. I just say fruit. Still, immediately the word takes you to the word, object indicated by the word. Through the word, you arrive at an object. What is this here in front of me? Paper. I say immediately the word takes you to the vastu, the object. Therefore, padam also is what? Shabdaha is what? A pramanam. A word also serves as means of knowledge. A word serves as means of knowledge. Shabdaha. And here, for Atma, this Atma Jnana, Jnanartham, for the knowledge of the self, for self-knowledge, Shabda becomes a means of knowledge. Understand? Shabda Pramanam. All the Pramanas have been ruled out. Shabda Pramanam alone, okay, is a means of knowledge. Serves as means of knowledge. And words of which, okay, which words serve as means of knowledge? There are words which we can simply talk, okay? And like eternal, eternal, all-pervasive, everlasting, indestructible. All these words talk about Atma. Can we say they're all, then we can say Atma, these words reveal anything to you? Atma is eternal, Atma is everlasting, Atma is imperishable, Atma is indestructible, Atma is limitlessness, timelessness. If you say all these words really speaking, they reveal the nature of the Atma. But just by listening to the word, do you get any meaning? Okay, even consciousness. Do you arrive at the meaning of the word immediately? Fruit, you arrive at it. Rose, you arrive immediately, the word takes you. That's what reaching through the word. Understand? Directly it takes you to the object. But here we say Shabda becomes a means of knowledge for the Atma. But still then, see, all these words describe the nature of the Atma. But still do these, what even consciousness, limitlessness, Satchitananda. All these words we hear. But still do these words, even though they reveal the nature of the Atma, do they really not take you anywhere? No. Understand? That is why Shabdaha is a Pramana means we have to understand Veda Anta Shastra Shabdaha. Understand? The words of the Shastram. Words of the Shastram reveal the nature of the... We only have the translations. Satchit Anandaha, existence, and we have Ananda also, people use the word bliss also. Okay, existence, knowledge, or existence, consciousness, and bliss. They use this translation. What do you understand that? So even the Sanskrit words are English words. They literally translate it. I mean, read, you can't understand. Then we say, definitely, the words of the Shastram serve as means of knowledge. How words of the Shastram reveal the nature of the Atma. Look at this. When I say rose, just the word immediately takes you to the word, the flower. When you say consciousness, it does not take immediately to the vastu. That object is not, does not take it directly. That means what? That word, like the word consciousness, or the word knowledge, pure knowledge, pure awareness, or even limitlessness, reality. Well, reality is the word. Other words, all these words, they're just words. They do not directly reveal. They only reveal the nature. Words of the Shastram reveal the nature of the reality. Why do they reveal the nature of the reality? Because the reality has to be understood only in terms of its nature, in Swarupam. They reveal the Swarupam of the reality. The words of the Shastram reveal the Swarupam of the reality, reveal the nature of the reality. Why do they reveal the nature of the reality? Because only the reality has to be understood only in terms of its nature, in terms of its Swarupam. Why we should understand the reality only in terms of its Swarupam? Because that is how it is. Because this is the subtlest. It is the subtlest. Understand? Reality is the subtlest substance. I shouldn't even use the word substance. The word substance makes you think of something gross. Reality happens to be the subtlest vastu. Vastu, better word. Subtlest vastu. It has to be understood only in terms of its Swarupam. Therefore, the Shastra's words reveal only the nature of Swarupam of the reality. Swarupam and nature are the same, okay? I use the word Swarupam because for me the word Swarupam is more expressive than the word nature. And second thing, the subtlest vastu, which has to be understood in terms of its Swarupam, happens to be the subject of knowledge, not an object of knowledge. Okay? Happens to be available for recognition only as subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. No intellect can crush itself, okay? It can by itself arrive at the Atma. No mind, no buddhi. You can say, I'm very sharp and very intelligent. I sit in meditation for hours. I can just know the Atma myself. I mean, I can use my own buddhi to understand what the Atma can be. What would be the Atma? What would be the nature of the Atma? What these words of the Shastram? What do these words sat? Now, what does this word sat mean? What does this word chit mean? What does this word anandaha mean? Why can't I know myself? Let me use my intellect. Let me try. Use all the time, sit and break my head and try to understand. Okay, if you sit in meditation all the time, maybe the meaning of these words will become revealed to me. No. That is what Shastram, one Upanishad says, andhena niyamanaha yatha andhaha. Understand? If one's buddhi tries to understand the Atma without using the Shastra as a means of knowledge, then it will be like what? It will be like a blind person being led by another blind person. These are the reasons you have to remember. The reality. I don't want to say I or you or anything. The reality the existence of the universe is available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. So all these other pramanas can be used only to know an object of knowledge. Shabda can be used to, all these six pramanas can be used to know an object which is an object of knowledge. And what we say, this reality of the universe, parampurul, padippinirupahirikkinra parampurul, the reality of the whole jagat is available for recognition. I'm using all the time available for recognition this. I'm repeating it because Swamiji's own words this is. Available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. This clue, we get it from Shastra only. Sampradaya, the tradition tells us, helps us to understand this. Then, this reality happens to be the subtlest vastu. It has to be understood in terms of its sarupam. Sarupattai vaitthudan paramparulai purundhukolla vendum. Okay, only in terms of its sarupam. Therefore, the Shastra's words reveal only the sarupam of the vastu reality. And the sarupam of the vastu, these words reveal sarupam of the vastu. Therefore, these words have to be unfolded. I cannot directly just, okay, Shastram is available, English translations are available, let me go and buy the book and start reading myself. You cannot understand it by yourself. That is why Shastra's words only reveal the nature of the reality. Understand? Only Shastra's words reveal the nature of the reality. Therefore, Shastra's words are the pramanam. Shabda pramanam. Okay? Shastra's words serve as shabda pramanam. So, words used in the Upanishads, which reveal the nature of the realities, serve as means of knowledge, no doubt. But those words again have to be unfolded, handled very carefully. Understand? By who? Teacher who knows the sampradaya, thereby you get the understand the sarup meaning of those words. Understand? Shabda pramanam, this is very important. And second thing we say here, when the teacher teaches also, and he uses all these, yesterday I started talking to you about this, pramanas, all these different methods of unfoldment, the traditional methods of unfoldment he has to use. And here, and Shastram also knows where exactly the problem lies. Therefore, the tradition has its own way of starting the teaching. Because when we say the reality of the universe is available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge, that means as a knower of objects, as a knower. And Shastram knows, because knower means subject, and subject means every individual connects, places the knower, connects oneself as I, as a first person singular pronoun I. Understand? Suppose when you say, with reference to a given knowledge of a given object, now I am the knower means, the knower, who is the knower here? I have to say, I am the knower. I know this is a rose and Peterji is the knower. Can I say that? When I say I know this is a rose, I am knower. Therefore, subject of knowledge, all with reference to every individual, is indicated by the pronoun I. Look at this. The subject of knowledge, the reference to every individual, is indicated by what now? The pronoun, the first person singular pronoun, I, and not any other pronoun. Is it clear? I made it very clear? So Shastram knows, but we know. And here there is, our identity is with the physical body, our individual happens to be the combination of all this. Individual is not only the knower consciousness, understand? Individual is not only the subtle body, all subtle aspects. Individual is not only the gross body also. Every individual is combination of what? All these things. There is consciousness which is there, okay, in everything. The underlying reality of every being is what? The being of being. Every being is what? We know pure consciousness, pure awareness. Of course, pure consciousness is very much there, which we do not know. That's a different thing. And we also have what? There is antahkaranam. And there are sense powers, there are powers of organs of actions, and there are physiological functions, and there is a physical, gross physical body with lots of functions inside. Too many things. And then this is such a big, many things put together intelligently constitute what? Is an individual here. But Shastram knows, recognizes this problem. Look at this. The I is not, as an individual, the subject I, understand, the first person singular pronoun I, every individual does not place the I only on a given thing. Understand, the whole individual is taken for what? The subject of knowledge. That is why Shastram has to do this, and it has to say, help us understand here. And here we have to, because if the Shastram has to make us understand the oneness of reality, look at this, oneness of reality. Because manifestations are many, they are gross and subtle, visible and invisible, and so perceptible and imperceptible, everything is together, whole jagat is so vast, and our own, every individual, the whole which constitutes individual also is too many, constitute of too many things. Therefore, here, the Shastram has to help you arrive at exactly the reality. And how? In terms of its swarupam. So Shastram has to tell us where it is available for recognition and how it has to be arrived at. Look at this. Where is it available for recognition? How it has to be arrived at in terms of its swarupam? And that is why very cleverly he uses this methodology, subject-object analysis, drik-drishya-viveka-prakriya. Yesterday, I'm repeating it for you to go into it. Because later on I can just go ahead. Drik drishya viveka prakriya, the subject object analysis, it starts with that, because no individual unknowingly, forgetfully also mistakes an object which is external to the body for subject. No, nobody makes any mistake. And here again, the consciousness, the subtlest vastu being available for recognition only as the subtlest of the manifestation is antahkaranam. Antahkaranam being linked to the entire gross physical body. Understand? That is why any part of the whole body is connected to what? Your antahkaranam. That is why you know. Understand? You know what? Anything about the body, any pain you feel, everything you know, because there's a connection. And this, because of proximity and closeness, here you cannot say that I'm not the body. Don't need to say also, really speaking. But still we have identity with the body. Nothing wrong if you have identity with the body. Just the idea is to help you to arrive at it. Therefore, Shastram very carefully command how even this gross body, even these sense powers, even these powers of organs, the subtle powers which constitute the subtle body, and antahkaranam, every vritti, all objects of knowledge, it has to help you to arrive at to exactly what is this knower. Understand? The knower of objects. The knower of objects is in fact the actual subject, and that only as the subject reality available, the swarupam of the reality is available. Not reality sitting there, okay? There is a swarupam. The swarupam is available, so you arrive at it as, oh, understand? There is not really knower. You arrive at it, then you say, there is only pure knowledge. The pure knowledge is available for recognition as the knower. The pure consciousness, the pure awareness available for recognition as, no, the knower. Then you say the knower is actually the consciousness, and the consciousness is not actually the knower, you arrive at it. Then you see that first this methodology helps you to arrive at that. Then you have this is how the reality is. This is what the consciousness is. Now you know the meaning of the word chit. Understand? First you arrive at chit. Now you have understood what? The chit is what? Chit reveals, implies the swarupam of the reality. What is chit? Pure knowledge. How the pure knowledge is to make you understand the swarupam, Shastram has used the drishya viveka prakriya. Not only that prakriya, it uses one more prakriya also to assert, may help you to, ascertain it. Avasthatraya prakriya. It also helps you to analyze your three states of experience. Why? Because in analyzing three states of experience, you don't think about the body. You've already known body is object of knowledge. You forget about it, okay? And then, not forgetting means what? Don't ignore it. I mean, you don't need to worry about it. Now you're very clear. Body is an object of knowledge. You're very clear all the other powers, sense powers, powers of organs of actions, all physiological functions, all objects of knowledge. You are very clear, no doubt. And antahkaranam it comes. You know all the thoughts are also known objects of knowledge. You know very well. But still then Shastra makes it very clear. Come on. Hey, what is it? Whatever thoughts come in the mind, any thought form comes in the mind, doesn't matter. There is a mind, and manaha, buddhihi, achittam, ahankara. All these thoughts together constitute this antahkaranam, which is active, there's a state, active, no? And there's a state, all the thoughts are resolved, no thought rises. There's a state, all the thoughts remain resolved for a length of time. You all had to go back last night, yesterday evening, to have some food and afterwards to go through that, okay? Because that is how mind rests. That is why we say, when does the mind rest means what? Mind resting means the thought should not arise. That is what is rest. The more thoughts arise, the frequency, I tell you, when you say you are a bit tired, oh my God, my head is reeling. When you say too many thoughts come, you are so tired. I tell you, what is tiredness? Too many things you have to do and too many things you have to plan. You have to do too many things for which you have to scheme, plan too many things, and that planning involves a lot of mental work, then you feel tired. When you have nothing much to do, you say you're relaxed. What does it mean? Too many thoughts, the thought frequency, the number of thoughts which arise becomes less, you are relaxed. The more number of thoughts arise, you are tensed, and then you are restless, are agitated, you become tired. Very tiring, you say. Very strenuous, very draining, all these things you say. That's why we say, remain quiet means what? Don't have too many programs, have less number of programs, so that the more number of thoughts will not rise, you can have some rest. When no thought rises, it's a proper rest. That's called a sleep. Understand? Sleep is the rest. No thought rises. All what happened to all the thoughts? See, you have no say. Come on, thoughts, all the thoughts, come on, go now. Go and sleep now. You can't say that. You have no say over. That's why we call it function, okay? Please understand, mentation, minding is a function. All the thoughts, no, different thoughts come and based on your perception and your own confusions on projections. Any projection, any confusion, wrong or right, everything, only when? It happens only when you are awake, okay? It's all waking state. But a deep sleep state means all the thoughts, just the mind functions such a way, all the thoughts resolve. Length of time. Then again, suppose because of your past, the day experiences, the waking experiences, you may have some dreams also. You know, strong thoughts might result in some dreams sometimes. Then partially active. And again, the mind can be what? Totally active when it wakes up from sleep. So this is how our mind functions, and we have no say over this. Mind has to fall asleep, mind has to wake up. Whether how long it sleeps, how long it keeps awake, that's a different thing. But the mind has to fall asleep, mind has to wake up. It constantly, continuously, this function takes place on the part of the mind. Understand? This takes place. Constantly it is taking place. But whether mind is active, mind is passive, there is a dream or there is no dream, and this is somehow known. This is known. The function of the mind, okay, the function of the mind is known. Different states are known. If it is known means, how is it known? The question comes, how is it known? How is it known? There is something, okay, because of the presence of which it becomes known. Without that, the mind cannot be known. Without being known, mind will be as good as non-existent. Because it is inert. Understand, mind also is a material product, even though it's subtle. Understand now? We say that it will be inert. Like how, even if the big, nice board is here, even though it is white in color, still in darkness, if we enter here, you cannot see this board being here. But because the board is opaque in nature, it cannot reveal its, it reveal itself, it cannot come to light by itself. It can, if the light is there, it comes to light. Like that, here, light without doing anything, it can bring opaque objects to light. Similarly, their pure awareness, look at this, the pure awareness or the pure consciousness or the pure knowledge is there. Because of the presence of which, the different states of whether mind is awake, whether mind is asleep, whether mind is, there's a dream, okay, mind is dreaming, dream, everything you arrive at. So we say, oh, the knower of each state of mind is one and the same. The knower of each state of mind is the same. Pure consciousness, pure awareness, and because the consciousness does not do the act of knowing, doesn't do any action, consciousness is, awareness is, okay, mind comes to light. The different states of mind come to light. Every state of mind comes to light because consciousness is in the presence of God. Look at this. In the presence of light, how opaque objects come to light. Similarly, in the presence of consciousness, awareness, okay, mind comes to light. Every thought form comes to light. Every state of mind comes to light. No thought being there comes to light, thought being there comes to light, dream being there comes to light. Understand? Now we understand, oh, this is how pure knowledge is. What have you understood now? Swarupam. That is why I said, knowing is not an action. Knowing is Swarupam. See, I tell you, this has to be thoroughly understood, very clearly understood. If you don't understand the chit, the meaning of the word chit, nothing can be understood, I tell you. I can write and give you. I can assure you. Nothing can be understood. That's why for us, the whole jagat is what? If you say, understand, what is pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure knowledge? The reality is the pure knowledge. The swarupam of reality is the pure knowledge. This, understand? Therefore we say, we understood the pure knowledge alone is manifest as the whole jagat means what? Whole jagat is manifestation of knowledge. Understand? Arivin totram idellame. Amazing, isn't it? Manifestation of knowledge, this is. Whole jagat is knowledge manifestation. Now, why I'm repeating what I said yesterday, today I think it has become, it must be clearer today than yesterday. Chit. Understand why I'm saying how the Shastra, one, this, using these two prakriyas, the chit, the meaning of the word chit, or the swarupam of the reality implied by the word chit has been made clear. Then we won't simply accept it. Okay, now chit means consciousness, we know. Chit means pure knowledge, we know. Chit means pure awareness, we know. Now we have to see other, the nature of reality also, other things. Now what do we know? Reality is of the nature of knowing. We understood. Now we say, does this consciousness have a beginning? Look at this. We next under Shastra, it's what is unfoldment. Without having arrived at what the word chit implies, you can't go to other words. You have to say, now what? Does this consciousness have a beginning? Look at this. There you analyze. If you do not know what consciousness is first, if you haven't arrived at it, how can you think of it? How can you say, does the consciousness have beginning? You can't think of beginning of something which you don't even know what it is. Very important. This is what unfoldment. Shastra, you know, unfoldment of the words means what? How can you understand? Unfoldment of the nature of the vastu which has been already understood. You cannot understand, you cannot understand. Suppose you talk about something. How can you say beginninglessness or endlessness of something which you do not know? Why this thing has a beginning? Why this thing has an end? How can you know that? Then you come to the next point. Does this consciousness have a beginning? Shastra, this is for unfoldment. Oh, consciousness cannot have beginning. There is no time the consciousness begins. Consciousness is always. Why? Because the beginning of anything, coming to an end of anything, happens in consciousness, in awareness. Understand? Therefore, consciousness has no beginning, consciousness has no end, consciousness, understand, does not come to an end. And nothing can destroy consciousness also, because everything exists in awareness. Any object existing in the light, how can this light object, very, okay, which is dependent on this light, to come to light, destroy the light? How can it contribute for the beginning of the light? Understand? That is why we say, please understand, this is very important thing. mind itself has its existence in consciousness, awareness means, and what to talk of everything which is dependent on the mind to come to light. Understand? Therefore, consciousness has no beginning. When you understand what is pure awareness, then you can definitely say, awareness has no beginning. Awareness has no end or doesn't come to an end. And does awareness undergo any change? Does it undergo any change? Does it undergo any change? Therefore, you can say, beginninglessness is the nature of consciousness. Look at this. Already you understood what is consciousness. You've understood the reality as consciousness in terms of its swarupam first. We understand the meaning of the word chit using these two methods. Then you say, having understood exactly what the word consciousness means, having understood exactly what the word awareness means, now you say consciousness is beginningless, endless, and sort of changeless. Changelessness is the nature of the reality. Therefore, you can say what? Once it is beginningless, endless, and changeless, now you can say reality is eternal. Okay, the word eternal existing in any dictionary will not give you any meaning unless you really understand this chit shabdartha. English word we can only say beginningless, endless is eternal. But really here you understand the only thing vastu which is eternal is reality. Eternal. Otherwise, how do you understand what is eternal? Look at this. You have to understand all these things before you go to Sat and Chit, Ananda. So, okay, eternal. You have understood how beginninglessness, endlessness and changelessness, then you say it is eternal. Now you can also say, any object, anything which is an object, including time and space. Look at this. Time or space, and any object, subtle or gross, which exists within the realm of time and space, any object does not exist outside of knowledge. No knowledge exists outside of consciousness. Can you say now? No thought exists outside of consciousness. It is very simple to say this. No mind exists outside of consciousness. No thought exists outside of consciousness. No knowledge exists outside of consciousness. Understand? Therefore, you can very well say, no object of knowledge exists outside of consciousness. So the object which comes to light, in the light, presence of light, which is, you know, dependent on the light to come to light, the object, you know, is borrowed light from, you know, the borrowed existence from the light, is completely pervaded by light, isn't it? The object, which it comes to light in the presence of light, and it has borrowed its existence from light. Why? Because existence of light is the opaque object's light existence. And it is pervaded by what? The light. Which part of the object is not pervaded by light? Now tell me. Everything. Similarly, I tell you, object of knowledge is not outside of knowledge. Understand? When you say, I know cow, means what? Knowledge pervades the entire object. Understand? Similarly, knowledge is not outside of awareness. Therefore, every object of knowledge is in and through pervaded by awareness, including time and space. Understand? Time does not exist outside of knowledge. Space does not exist outside of knowledge. And any object which exists within the realm of time and space does not exist outside of knowledge. No knowledge exists outside of consciousness. Therefore, nothing exists outside of consciousness. And consciousness pervades everything. Okay? Subtlest vastu pervades everything. subtle, subtler, okay, grass, everything pervades. Then we say, all pervasive. How will talk about the all pervasiveness without knowing first the meaning of the word chit? This is what talk about sampradaya, tradition, understand? Why this is how everything has to be unfolded. It's not enough, actually. I'm only just using introducing. As we do next session like this, you would be many things I can say now. I had to prepare you with certain things to say something more later on. Okay, everything I can't give, not too much. These are all pervasiveness. I got it? Okay. So we'll come back and see. Okay, you have tea break now.